thank you, my children's congregation here, for helping me this morning with our children's sermon. Now, boys and girls, I want you to be very patient now because I need to talk to your parents and the men and women who are here, and they don't catch on as fast. It takes a lot longer, but not that much longer, so if you will, help me out. And I still have one more children's sermon in my pocket here. And let me just start with a story I heard about a third grader. Anybody here from third grade? A third grader? Soon to be? Or yeah, all right, a third grader. Well, let me tell you about a little boy who was had a part in the school play. And his part was, I am the light of the world. That's not a lot to remember, is it? But when he got on the stage and it his time to say it, he forgot his lines. He couldn't remember what to say. There he stands with all those people there. But he wasn't worried too much because his dad was down in the front row and his dad would surely help him. And sure enough, his dad was trying to say the words. He couldn't understand. And so he was just panicking. What would he do? And finally his dad whispered in a loud voice and said, I am the light of the world. And a big smile just broke out on his face and he said, my dad is the light of the world. Well, he didn't get the words right exactly, but he sure got it right when it comes right down to what you think about, because truly, in a real sense of the word, men, dads, as well as moms and mothers and daughters as well, and women, we are the light of the world. In fact, Jesus on one occasion was speaking to his followers, and he said to a small group of them, he said to them, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And sometime later, when he was gathered with another group of his followers, he said to them, I am the light of the world. Now, if you are prone to argue and debate, you want to debate and argue the words, you might want to say, Jesus contradicted himself. He says, you are the light of the world. Then he said, I am the light of the world. You can't have it both ways. Well, now, I beg your pardon. Jesus was telling us the truth about that. And fact of the matter is, if you really want to think about something very flattering and meaningful in your life, put some real meaning to your life and purpose to your life, think about this. When Jesus says those words, you are the light of the world. You ever stop to think about that? Why don't you look into the mirror sometime and just say it with me right now. Come on, say this. I am the light of the world. The whole world. What Jesus was trying to teach his disciples and followers and us today is simply this, that his purpose and intention when he came into this world was such that he wanted you and me to allow him by his Spirit to live within us, so much so that when the world looks at you, they see the light of Jesus Christ, the light of his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding living in and through you and me. Now, I understand that today we, you know, when I focus this these words of Jesus, you are the light of the world, upon fathers and men, that you won't forget that he meant that just as well for women and mothers and boys and girls too. But because this is Father's Day, then this message today and the focus is going to be for men and fathers, and this one is for you and for me. So let's start this morning, and I know how difficult it is to memorize Scripture and remember what the Bible says, but today I want to help you to do that. We're going to do that in this way. We're going to repeat what Jesus said to us four times, so I think we can get it together here. And each time we do it, I want you to emphasize one particular word in the statement, you are the light of the world, you are the light of the world. So the first statement, when we say it this time, I want you to say it in this way, I want you to say, you are, and then you emphasize the light of the world, okay? Now, out loud, everybody together, one, two, three, you are the light of the world. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? You are the light of the world. What is he trying to tell us? What's his idea here? Well, think of it this way. When I go into a dark room, when you go into a very dark room where there's no light, the door is closed, the windows are shut, the shades are drawn, and you don't know whether to step forward or to step back or to step to the left or to the right, there's a lot of confusion. When you don't have light, there's confusion. When Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," he said, there's a lot of confusion in the world. And it needs some light so people know where to go, what to do, what to think. If you don't think there's confusion, you just look at our nation's capital right now. Talk about confusion. I mean, we have some of the most knowledgeable people in the world, and they're all gathered together in the nation's capital, and they don't know whether to go backward or forward or right or left when it comes to issues like freedom and moral integrity and world terror and all of those things. They can't figure it out. We've got confusion. We don't have to go to Washington to find that. It's all over the place. You find it in the church. You find it in the community. We've got confusion on things as simple as marriage. There are folks who think that living together is just as good as being married together, or some folks who think that marriage is having one husband or wife after another, you know. I mean, we're just confused. Somebody turn on the light. We need some light. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus chose a highly explosive element to describe what God intended and had in mind for you and me to be. Light. Think about it. Light is a miracle. Let me give you a definition of light found in the Bible, found in Mr. Webster's dictionary. Here's what Webster says about light. He says, "Light is something that makes vision possible. Light is the sensation aroused by the stimulation of the visual receptors. Light is an electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, visible, ultraviolet, and X-rays, and traveling in a vacuum with a speed of 186,281 miles per second." Thanks a lot, Mr. Webster. I just prefer, wouldn't you just prefer to simply say, you know, light's a miracle. Light is a miracle. Think of all the confusion that would exist if there were no light. And so Jesus said here, let the Holy Spirit of God, let His Spirit zoom in on our lives as fathers, as men, as believers in Christ, and see what God wants us to do. Let the world see God's wisdom. Wisdom, the ability to see things the way God sees them. Understanding, the way to respond to circumstances the way God responds to them. And knowledge, let the world see the light of God in you, in me. All right, you're on your way. Let's say it again. This time, though, don't emphasize light. Now you have an idea what he's talking about. Let's emphasize the first word. You are the light of the world. All right, let's say it out loud together. You are the light of the world. Now we know where the light comes from and who's to deliver it. You are. You are. Washington is not the source of the light. The United Nations is not the source of the light. Government is not the source of the light. Organized religion is not the source of the light. Just human rugged individualism is not the source of the light. You are. In fact, Big Spring Baptist Church is not the source of the light. You are the source. You are. You're the light of the world. Stop blaming the confusion in your world on the government and the schools and the community leaders or even the church. Ask yourself, what effect am I having on my world? What effect am I having on my home? What effect am I having on my community and on my church? You know, where there's just the least bit of light, darkness goes away. You received a gift a few moments ago, men. It's just a little light like this. And I've got one of these on my phone. It's a free app. And sometimes I go in dark places, even as large a dark room as the gym over there without a light on or dark without a door open or anything. And I can't see anything. I turn that little thing on. I can just, you'd be amazed how much you can see with just a little bit of light. If you're just a small amount of light, you can find direction. Letting Christ live in you, letting the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God shine through you, folks know where to go. Moral values are hidden in the darkness of the world and even in our own flesh. I can give you some perfect examples, sadly, in my own life. When moral values were lost in darkness. There was a time in my life, folks. There was a time. You may find yourself in this category right now, but I hope not. I hope you've grown more than that. But there was a time in my life as a young student when I would look at the moral issue of the sanctity of human life and abortion. And to me, I thought, well, it doesn't really matter. It's up to what a mother wants to do, you know. It's none of my business or any of those types of things. And then I started reading God's Word. And the more I read, I came across passages and statements like this where the psalmist said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then I began to read about the sanctity of human life. And all of a sudden, God turned on the light. And I realized I was wrong. Abortion is wrong. Human life is sacred. And I changed the direction that I was going. Moral values change when the light comes on. Forget the fact that the lottery is a form of regressive taxation. You know what I mean by that? Regressive taxation. It means that most people who buy lottery tickets are poorer people, truthfully. And the lottery is a way that the government and certain people within it, and leaders among them, have determined how to live high on the hog with programs that are not of value, generally, for themselves, based upon taking advantage of the poor. And you say, well, what's that have to do? Well, that's a value. We don't think about that very much. But then I read the Bible. It says, you shall not covet. You shall not covet. Stop trying to find happiness in the things of the world or to find happiness in what other people have. And you know what? When you begin to turn on the light, guess what? Your attitude about lottery is another value that will change. And you'll save yourself a lot of money and a lot of misery, and you'll save a country that's about to go bankrupt from the misery that it's in as well. As a man and father, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're the first line of defense that a child or family member has in a world that is filled with confusion and darkness. You're the first line of defense. When your children see the light of Jesus, the wisdom of God and the knowledge and understanding of God shining through your life, they make choices that will keep them from ruining and destroying their lives. And so Jesus said, let your light shine. Let it shine. And I can hear some father, some man saying, hey, you know, I don't fool with things like that. I'll leave that up to other people. I don't get involved in those things. You remind me of an old farmer back in the years before electricity, when people lighted their way with lanterns with oil. And this father happened to be this old fellow happened to be a tight-fisted old farmer, and he had a hired hand who would take the lantern and he would light it and waste all that expensive oil as he went out in the evenings to visit his girlfriend, go courting with her. And the farmer chewed him out. And he said, why do you take that light, that lantern like that and waste all that good oil? When I was courting and I was going to see my wife when I was growing up, I didn't take no lighted lantern with me. I just walked in the dark. The hired hand looked at him a minute. And then he said, yep, and look what you got. Well, fathers, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Let's do it again, a third time. Let's see if we can get it right this time. This time, let's highlight, emphasize the last word. You are the light of the world, okay? Here we go. You are the light of the world. That's where Jesus wants that light to shine, in the world, wherever you are. And in the verses and the words that follow here, as Jesus said those words, he used some interesting objects to describe this world. He said, he talked about a city on a hill. You can't hide a city on a hill. Even in a darkened first century area, if there was just one glimmer of light, you'd see the city. Then he talked about a candle in a room. A candle in a room, or a lampstand to show the where the effect of light is and where it goes when it's there. In other words, when the light of heaven, the light of Jesus Christ is in you, and it's shining in your world, guess what? The clerk at the checkout counter gets to see the light of Jesus in you. The waiter who serves your table and receives your gratuity gets to see the light of Jesus in you. Your library card, your computer hard drive, all of these things, your checkbook, all serve to show the world that come in contact with you where Jesus is and what he's doing in your life. You know, the candle, I have another sermon for the children. Time out. Boys and girls, here it is. It's in my pocket. Let me get it out. Jesus said that, he said, if your light is like a lamp, now this is a lamp like the one in the first century. It'd be just that small, that tiny. He said, if you have a lamp even just that small, and you take that lamp and you light it, and you come into a dark room, then Jesus said, everyone in the room will know where you are. Everyone in the room will know, they will see the light that's in you. Now, when we're thinking about that, I have to ask you the question, do the people in your home see the light of Jesus when you come into the room? When you come into a classroom, or when you come into a workplace, do the folks who see you say, there's something different about that child, or that man, or that woman? What is it about them that's different? I've had people tell me about people I know. I knew, they said, I knew when I saw them. I knew when I worked with them that was something different about them. What was that difference? It was Jesus living in them. Do those people who work with you know? Do they see the light of Jesus shining in you? Are you the light in the world? God wants you to be. He intends for you to be that. And if not, why not? Well, we'll close with the fourth time. And this time, let's change the words a little bit because of what Jesus said in the words that follow. And change the words, and here's what we'll highlight. Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, don't hide your light. Can you say that together? Don't hide your light. You say, well, is that what he said? Well, you listen for yourself. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Isn't that what he said? It gives light to all who are in the house. I heard about a middle school kid who said that he became a Christian in a vacation Bible school or some other church event that was taking place in his church. And it was in the early part of the summer, and he was going to summer camp just after that, immediately after that. And so his friends were wondering, after he went off to camp, they were thinking, well, boy, when he goes to camp, I wonder what those kids are going to say to him, if they're going to give him a hard time when they find out that he's a Christian, that he has Jesus in his heart and in his life. And so all his buddies were waiting for him to come back. And when he came back, the first thing they asked him was this. They said, well, when you were at camp, did they give you a hard time when they found out that you were a Christian? He just grinned. He said, no, they never did find out I was a Christian. Would your neighbors say the same thing? Well, you sure could have fooled me. Would your co-workers say the same thing? I didn't know that. I'm surprised. When they find out that you're a Christian or read your obituary, are they going to say, I'm surprised? Or I don't think so? Don't hide your light, Jesus said. Let the whole world see it shine. You really can't help it when you have the light of Jesus really in your heart. Dale Evans, some of you won't recognize that, but some of us go back that far. Dale Evans was a rather famous actress, movie actress, the wife of Roy Rogers, for those of you who don't know. And years ago, Dale became a Christian during her adult years while she was an actress. And shortly after that, one of her friends walked up to her and said, why, Dale, you simply must tell me who gave you that facelift. I need to go there myself. And Dale just smiled and she said, Jesus, Jesus. It was so plain. There was such a different light and radiance in her life. That's her testimony. That's what she used to tell folks. But you know, if you're not careful, even when you place your trust in Jesus, it's very easy for your light to become hidden. Hidden, almost like putting a basket over it or hiding it some way. And Jesus warned about that. He said, don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Fathers, dads, men, don't hide your light in your family. You say, how can that be? Well, I'll tell you how it can be. Careless words will hide your light. Careless words will hide your light. Confuse your family, your children. Neglecting God's word in your life will hide your light. You won't be able to find your way. Becoming distracted by the world around you will hide your light. So much that others can't see Jesus and see the light of God's wisdom and knowledge in your life. Jesus said, Luke was recording those same words. Matthew wrote these that we just read, but Luke recorded them. When he did, he said, Jesus used another word. But he said, I remember that. Jesus said, do not put your lamp under a bed. Don't put your light under a bed. The obvious truth here is that there's some things that will hide your light. When you become spiritually lazy, you will hide your light, just like putting it under a bed. The altar of repentance is not a lazy boy. It is a broken heart and bent knees. It is time alone with God, asking for His presence. And if you were just being transparently honest this morning, transparently honest, tell me, is your light the light of Jesus shining as bright or brighter than it's ever shined before, or has it grown dim? Has it become hidden, neglected? Jesus said, don't hide your light. Turn the spiritual rheostat up. Let your light shine. You say, how do you do? I'm not going to go through a list of things. You probably know them already. There are numbers of things you can do to turn that spiritual rheostat up. Get into God's Word. Spend time in prayer. Worship together with God's people. Praise God. Join the choir. I mean, it'll turn your light up and it'll start to shine and there'll be a new brightness in your life, and you know that. Earlier tonight, this morning, I gave you men a little reminder. If you look at the bottom of that, it'll say on the bottom, take it out if you would. Every guy that got one of these, look at the bottom of it. It says, Big Spring Baptist Church, Cleveland, Tennessee, you are the light of the world. In a few moments, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that your light is going to start shining. I'm going to pray that you're going to turn up the light. In a few moments, when I begin to pray, I would like for you to do this. If what you've heard today has spoken to your heart and you feel a need in some way, any way at all, to let your light shine brighter in God's word, in prayer, walking with God, in worship, you need to be whatever it may be, in serving. We're going to talk about some things you can do later that you could be involved in as well. I want you to just do this. When I'm praying, I want you to turn this little light on right here, and I want you to just stand. You can bow your head, just let your light shine just like that. Let it shine. You say, why that? Because I want you to be reminded. I want others, too, to be reminded of the spiritual light of Jesus Christ that's in this room and in you. And it may be that for someone here today, men, women, boys, or girls, the light of Jesus has never been turned on in your life. Or if it has, you haven't told anyone about it. You've never followed him in obedience to his command to be baptized, and you'd like to do that. I want you to turn your light on and stand up too and just shine that light around. Later, I'll say something that if you want to, in a way that you can share that decision, you can, but I want you to do that if you would. Let's bow in prayer together. Remember, as we do, a decision for you and you only, men and fathers today. If you would stand and let your light shine, would you stand now and do that as you shine that light? And Heavenly Father, all across this room, there are men who are standing there, fathers, perhaps there are even mothers and daughters who are standing as well, who want their light to shine brightly, to shine brighter than it's ever shined before, to be involved in letting their light shine. Lord, I pray that you will let your light shine in the world through each one of them today, Lord, that you will change our lives and their lives as we stand before you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All across this room, folks, look around, would you? Just look around. You see these lights? Let them shine. Let them shine. All over Middletown, let them shine. I hope you'll keep those lights shining. You can ask the rest of you to stand with us now. We're going to have a moment to sing together while we are thinking here. And if you'd like to come this morning to indicate some decision that you've reached beyond this point, that you want to make to follow Jesus in believers' baptism, to be the person God wants you to be, to let your light shine, whatever it may be, you come as we sing this final hymn together. Let's sing together. You come. Thank you.